You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romillo, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. On Wednesday night, the Heat returned home to kick off a six-game homestand after a 1-3 road trip, taking on the Denver Nuggets, the winners of four straight. Unfortunately for Miami, there was absolutely no home court advantage as the Heat surrendered a big lead early in the game, scoring just 12 points in the first quarter and eventually letting the Nuggets build a 25-point lead. Miami outscored Denver by 16 points in the third quarter, and an Andre Iguodala three-pointer cut the lead down to 7 with just over 10 minutes to play. But the Nuggets would close out the game on a 32-12 run as Miami yet again ran out of gas and couldn't compete with a far more talented group. The result, 109-82 loss to the Denver Nuggets. And the loss drops Miami to 6-11 overall in the Eastern Conference standings. Some news and notes on the game. Avery Bradley returned to the rotation after missing 17 days of action. He wound up playing a total of 18 minutes, scoring 8 points. Missed his first shot pretty badly, but kind of seemed to gather his rhythm after that. Finished 3 of 6 from the floor, chipped in a couple of rebounds and an assist, or rather a couple of assists and a rebound. Also had 4 turnovers, unfortunately. Jimmy Butler was not in the game. He was on the sidelines, however, laughing it up with everyone and looking quite honestly like he's lost some weight, although I could be wrong. Purely speculative on my perspective. He seemed like he was wearing maybe a baggy shirt, but he also looked a little undersized. And I saw some other folks on Twitter notice the same thing, so perhaps I am not the only one. Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, I believe, was the first to report that there's no immediate plan for Butler's return. It could be tomorrow, Thursday, against the Los Angeles Clippers or the LA Clippers, or it could be later on this week against the Sacramento Kings, or it could be next week. Again, no definitive plan. I won't even bother speculating because I assumed he'd be available by Wednesday, and it seems like whatever has kept him inactive for over 2 weeks is far, far worse than previously believed. Tyler Herro was also out again, missing his 7th straight game. And Goran Dragic was ruled out due to a groin injury. Hopefully he'll be back. Herro was a last-second decision from the Heat, so hopefully he's back out there soon. I think they were kind of putting him through treatment, seeing if he'd respond in time for the game, and ultimately they decided best to hold him out. So maybe he'll be there on Thursday when they take on the Clippers, but we'll see. Miami will be welcoming fans back to the American Airlines Arena on Thursday when they take on those Clippers. They'll be missing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George out due to health and safety protocols, and Patrick Beverley, who's also missing time because of an injury. So maybe Miami can get back on track. Maybe they'll be able to figure something out and finally get a win because, it was pretty ugly out there. The Heat were using their 12th different starting lineup, 17 games, 12 lineups. That's not a great chance of building any sort of consistency that way. Kendrick Nunn started alongside Duncan Robinson, KZ Okpala, Kelly Olynyk, and Bam Adebayo. So Nunn and Okpala, who have been in and out of the lineups and haven't gotten much consistent playing time. Kelly Olynyk, who's struggling. Duncan Robinson, who's struggling. And Bam, unfortunately, not a bright spot on Wednesday night. This was Miami's worst game in some time. To me, they just seemed listless and without any sort of energy. That third quarter burst was just fool's gold because even though they were able to cut the lead to single digits, as soon as Denver started punching back, the Heat just collapsed again. And they just didn't seem like they had any kind of response. And I'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show because I think there may be a leadership problem. And I know I've addressed this in a recent mailbag and I can't recall when. And if I'm contradicting my response, I'm seeing something different now because looking at this roster and the way they've lost the last couple games, I feel like something's missing. And I'll talk about that again later on the show. But here are some of the lowlights, and there were plenty from tonight's game. 16 turnovers, so back to their old coughing up the ball ways. They're also out-rebounded 49-38, and I'll talk about that a little bit as well because the rebounding edge was just – I don't think it's – I know that the team has generally downplayed the importance of rebounding, and I totally understand that. But there were just moments there where even Miami's quote-unquote bigs are just getting bullied. And you have a front court with Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., Paul Millsap, all of them bigger than anybody on Miami's roster. Like, I think Millsap might be the shortest, and he's probably comparable to Bam in height. Precious Achiuwa looked like a small child out there next to Nikola Jokic. And that created secondary shot opportunities for the Nuggets, where Miami just couldn't seem to get any. If Miami, again, on the offensive end, they certainly don't get a lot of offensive rebounds. And for Denver, with a sharp passer like Jokic, if he gets that rebound, he can initiate a fast break standing still. He doesn't even have to move because he threw a quarterback pass today, several outlet passes, I think, that initiated fast break opportunities for Denver, whereas Miami just had no response for those and just kind of watched flaccidly on the other end as the Nuggets would score easily. The Heat just shot 37.5% overall from the floor, so they stunk it up offensively again. Every shot was exhausting. I tweeted this out during the game. Oh, man, watching them try to score, and I'm using try because they just could not do so, was exhausting to me just to watch it because it just seems like they put in so much effort swinging the ball, meeting up and bumping into bodies, no rhythm whatsoever, hoisting up a last-second shot there that rims out. Just ugly, ugly offense from this team. A sharp contrast from what we saw in the bubble and even early on last season when they were moving the ball and initiating offense so easily. 29% from three, so that's probably a big part of it. Without that three-pointer as a reliable weapon, you're not creating any sort of offense. There's no kicking the ball out game or anything like that. You can't drive and kick if you're not really a legitimate threat from three-point range. You know, you're driving the ball, you're kicking it out, and, well, good luck with all that. But even still, they were lazy passes. Like, just, they couldn't handle the ball. Rebounds slipped through fingers that normally would have been caught. It was just a weird game to see from Miami. Like, just not the kind of energy we're used to seeing from the team. Again, it could very well be the worst loss of the season. Duncan Robinson, man. He continues to struggle. 2 of 10 from beyond the arc. And some of those looks were wide open. Great looks, great shots that we know he's capable of knocking down and just could not seem to do so. Miami's pace continues to be sluggish as hell. Just 80 total field goal attempts compared to Denver's 92. Again, those rebounding opportunities, just so much easier for Denver to initiate offense. Bam had just 15 points in 34 minutes. So not even a silver lining in watching Bam Adebayo play. He was clearly outplayed by Nikola Jokic, who is an MVP contender early on this season. Miami, like I said before, couldn't match Denver's energy at all for most of the game. And I've got to give Jokic, all the credit for bending the Heat's defense so easily. As a 7-foot-tall point guard, he's initiating the offense in a way that makes Bam look, frankly, mediocre. Jokic's passing is so sharp and next level, and he's a shooting threat that commands respect, something that Bam doesn't do yet. Even Bam, as good a defender as you'll get in the league, just couldn't keep up with Jokic. Bam usually relies on his quickness and athleticism, especially as a pick-and-roll defender. He'll leave a little bit of cushion in between whoever he's guarding in case he has to switch onto the ball handler. He can kind of hedge a little bit or at least make a touch in the lane so he can slow down a ball handler. Not against Jokic. We've seen him do that, and he's still able to kind of break up that pass, to the roll man on other occasions. But because Jokic is such a great passing and shooting threat, Bam had to play up on him much more closely, and ball handlers like Jamal Murray and others would use both Jokic and then Bam as a result together as a screen, and with Miami's lack of rim protection, it would end up as an easy drive to the rim. And even if it was a missed shot or a contested shot, the Nuggets would get an easy rebound because of their height advantage, and Miami's defense would be completely upended, scrambling, and the result was either an easy putback or they would be able to kick the ball out for a wide-open jumper. And just Miami's defense is collapsing because of their lack of on-ball defense, because of their lack of size, because of their lack of rim protection. And I know a lot of that is by design, but because they're missing some of their key defenders, well, Bradley was back, but because guys like Duncan and Olynyk and Nunn are not great defenders, and because Jimmy's not out there to make up for a lot of those mistakes, well, it's just not a pretty sight out there. The Nuggets scored 50 points in the paint, in part because Denver's ball movement was so crisp. And the Heat defense was so incredibly out of sync, and just an ugly game that probably should look a lot uglier if not for that decent run in the third by the Heat. And sure, the Heat look lazy and incompetent, but is the NBA to blame? I'll break down why and why not here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. But one of the things that you can't debate is the ever-increasing number of makes and models and why it's impossible to stock all the parts for those makes and models, especially in a traditional chain storefront. And you go in there, you have to ask questions. The person behind the counter looks at you funny, like they don't know what you're talking about. And then they look up whatever parts they happen to carry on their computer. But you've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business. They've been serving auto parts customers like you online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you'll get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly and safely to your door. Why would you spend more for the exact same parts at a chain store? Rockauto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car, truck, then go to that How Did You Hear About Us section, enter Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today. It's a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts, such as myself. Start your day off with all the sports news you need in just under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So the debate I'm seeing on Twitter is an interesting one. It's your conspiracy theory du jour out there. And look, there's a lot of tension out in the TL. Let me tell you, everybody's really frustrated with this loss. Nobody has any clear answers. And one of the things that everybody kind of keeps coming back to is, did the NBA screw over the Miami Heat? Now, that's such an open-ended conspiracy or theory or whatever you want to label it. But I think it all boils down to that Washington Wizards game that took place a couple of weeks ago. From that point forward, Miami was forced to postpone one of their matchups against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics had to go through their own issues with COVID because Jason Tatum, their young superstar, wound up missing a bunch of games because they had just played the Wizards before. Of course, the Wizards have been out of action for an eternity, and they've had several players test positively. Their facilities have been shut down. They've just been, frankly, a pretty big mess. But, of course, following Miami's brief interaction with the Wizards, Jimmy and half the roster winds up having to go into health and safety protocols. And from that point forward, everything has just collapsed for Miami. There's been no chance at continuity. Tyler Hero was basically forced to play in a game against the Philadelphia 76ers many, many weeks ago. And he wound up aggravating a neck injury as a result of having to play. Miami probably shouldn't even have put him out there because he had that neck strain to begin with. And they were so undermanned. They probably could have just used their excuse, the same excuse so many other teams have used, not excuse, the reasoning that other teams have been using, which is, well, hey, we don't have enough players out there. But the Heat being the Heat, and Eric Spoelstra kind of alluded to this in a recent press conference, said that his hand was sort of forced to play Tyler so that he wouldn't wind up missing the game. And then, of course, then aggravating that injury. And now he's missed seven straight games since then. So it's not a good look. It's really easy to look for excuses and blame this faceless entity, the NBA. And it's not just Adam Silver's bald head kind of staring back at you and saying, no, I want the Heat to fail. You know, it's the same way that Knicks fans have been booing Dave and Stern forever. Rest in peace, former Commissioner David Stern. I guess you could blame Adam Silver if you want to, but I don't think he was forcing Miami's hand. I don't think he was the one that forced Eric Spoelstra to play Tyler Hero. But, you know, the season has been mishandled by the league, so I guess you could attribute some of that blame in part to the league because they should have done things differently because these health and safety protocols have shifted so continuously that coaches, players, everybody is responding and not dealing with these things particularly well. From the start of the season, it's just become harder and harder to keep track of these changes. You've got organizations that are overtaxed. You've got individual people like the Heat's own strength and conditioning coach trying to determine what the health and safety protocols are and how to do COVID testing regularly, three times a day, twice a day, all these different changes taking place. And it's so hard to keep track. And it's, everybody's thrown off as a result and with good reason. Aside from all that, yes, the Heat were kind of ambushed because of the game against the Wizards. Whereas while they did everything they thought they were supposed to do, in a recent podcast from Yahoo Sports, Chris Haynes, said that I think it was with Avery Bradley, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet. If you get a chance, check it out. Of course, after you listen to every Locked On Heat podcast. But, you hear, I think the quote that's been going around is that Avery Bradley told Chris Haynes that he's done everything he possibly could. He wore masks, he followed all the protocols, and then he still wound up testing positive for COVID. So he's gone out of his way to mention that he's tested positively on that podcast. So far, no diagnosis, no confirmed diagnosis from Jimmy or anybody in the Heat organization. But anyway, Bradley at least admitting that he had COVID. He had concerns. He said it was caught early enough where he was able to self-quarantine and he could talk to his family from a window in their house, a little, I think he had a guest house or something like that, or some facility on his property where he could still see his family and not have to interact with them. So, at least he had an option there, but he was still, again, kind of pissed off that, the league and the other teams aren't following these protocols so closely that, even though he's done everything he possibly could, again, according to him, then everybody else is not following the letter of the law as closely. And it costs an opportunity for him to play. And it's cost Jimmy Butler an opportunity for him to play against. He's been out of the lineup for, 17 days now? 18 days? And if he plays on Thursday, if he doesn't play on Thursday, it'll be 19 days and counting, with their next game being on Saturday against the Sacramento Kings. Not good. So, I don't know if you want to blame the league or not. Yes, they're at fault here. There are responsibilities that they should have handled a lot better. But I can't. Maybe it's been following this team for so long as I have. Sometimes I look back and I think, oh, man, I started writing about this team in 2014. I got my first credentials to cover them about 4 years ago, and I've been doing this so damn long, and I guess even before that, my own fandom predates any media coverage I had, so I guess I've kind of accepted some of the ideologies of this team, and maybe it's just a ridiculous motto for Eric Spoelstra to say next man up, but I guess I kind of tend to believe it. I've seen some undermanned Heat teams overperform, and the way that the Heat have collapsed over the last 2 weeks with, one victory over the Pistons, one victory over the Raptors, and aside from that, two losses to the 76ers, a loss to the Pistons, a loss to the Raptors, two losses to the Nets, and now a loss to the Nuggets. It's a tough stretch. Like, those teams, take away the Pistons, and all those other teams are competitive or at least difficult, and the Pistons still wound up taking us to the shed and beating us pretty badly. So I feel like, as much as we're trying to focus on the positive here, and I've been doing that myself, I'm just at a point right now where we're watching this team fall apart so completely and so regularly, because that just seems to be the norm now, that while they give great effort, and Eric Spoelstra, hats off to him, because he just keeps trying to find ways to be positive in these postgame pressers and saying, he likes their energy. He's not panicking. He's not worrying. He's still taking away positives from all this. And it's just, maybe I'm just at a point where I'm getting a little too frustrated, because I just don't see that the Heat are doing anything positive. In fact, it seems like they're regressing. For all the greatness that we saw from Bam Adebayo over the last couple games, I think he regressed a little bit against Jokic. And I don't know if it was because he was acutely aware of that matchup and wanted to show up the MVP. But Jokic is one of those players that, like, he just gets under your skin and unintentionally. He just beats you because he's so much better than you are. Like, he's not talking shit. He's not getting under your nerves. Like Embiid. Embiid's easy to kind of rally against or want to take on because he just talks so much and he's so damn annoying. He claps. Jokic doesn't do any of that. Yeah, sure, he cries for the occasional foul. Who in the NBA does it? But other than that, he's just a silent killer. It's just unbelievable because it's just so annoying. And I know other players have talked about this before, but I can't recall now which ones have mentioned that Jokic is just frustrating because all he just does is beat you. And you see it, too. Like, at 7 feet tall, he just swings those elbows around. You have no chance. He's just, like, pushing you off like a child. He's a lot stronger than you think. And I know he's been doing some work in the weight room, and he's been building muscle and everything else like that. But it's just easy for him to be able to kind of bully you. He made Achiuwa look tiny out there. Like, Precious just had no opportunity to combat a player of that size and strength. And you think of Achiuwa being explosive and being able to bully people around because he's built and everything else. Well, he had no answer for the flabby Serbian. Yeah, so, I, or Croatian? I can't remember now. Either way, you know, this team is looking for answers, and they don't really have any. And I think the fans are starting to kind of follow suit, where it's just like, you want to blame somebody, blame the goddamn NBA. But I don't think that's quite fair either. I think you could have gotten some better performances out of this. I think they've struggled with no continuity and everything else, but you've seen some really some great lack of effort from this team on occasion, and I think tonight was particularly indicative of that. And that can't be put on anybody else. Like, Kendrick's finally getting the playing time. KZ's getting the playing time. He was out there for, I don't know, 20-something minutes. I don't know what he did. Like, he was out there for 26 minutes, was 0 of 3 overall, finished with 5 rebounds because he's much taller than everybody else, 2 assists, 2, and a steal. I guess that's okay, but other than that, it just seemed like he was quietly taking up space and not doing anything. He had some nice switches on defense. Again, pretty solid. We knew his defense was going to be good going to the start of the season, but he's at a point now where he needs to show a lot more, or you can forget about even 26 useless minutes. Like, you're not getting that anymore. So he just doesn't seem to care, and that's a little frustrating to watch. And everybody else on his roster was somewhere around there too. I mean, Bam, not as aggressive as he needed to be, and I think, again, that matchup with Jokic might have taken him out of his comfort zone a little bit. None struggled, and then, he wound up shooting himself out of his slump, a mini slump during the course of the game. Duncan and Olynyk, I mean, Kelly hit a couple three-pointers, 3 overall of 7 opportunities, but, man, Duncan and him both are just – they're really struggling out there, and there's no response. I don't know. Even a guy like Gabe Vincent just doesn't seem to have it anymore. And maybe he never did. Maybe this has just all been smoke and mirrors over the last couple of weeks. But I had higher expectations for this group, even without key players. Maybe that was unfair or unrealistic. But I think it's worth asking. Yeah, another question I have, though, is there a leadership problem on this team? I'll debate that in the next segment here on Locked On Heat. Look, you might not be able to trust the Miami Heat defense, but there's one place that you can trust when it comes to online betting. That's betonline.ag. If you want to bet on the NFL, ping pong, the NBA, whatever it is that floats your boat, sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get a 50% welcome bonus. Again, so many different sports to choose from, and you can bet on all of them. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. If you want to make a little money, get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And if you get tired and you need a little energy after all that online betting and winning, then let me recommend Built Bar, because it's the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors. If you haven't tried them by now, you're doing yourself a great disservice, because all those bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. You don't even know you're eating a protein bar, but they're healthy. They're great for health conscious people. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and great for all sorts of diets. And best of all, if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 20% off bonus on your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Now, I phrase this as whether or not there's a leadership problem here, but I feel like we can keep kind of talking about it in other vague terms, like, is there an identity issue? Is there an identity crisis with this team? And I feel that's kind of fair. It kind of reminded me, as I was watching this really crappy game, that this was a lot like the teams of the last couple seasons, the pre-Jimmy Butler era, when there was some talent, some depth, a lot more depth than was available and has been available over the last couple of weeks, but no clear leadership, no hierarchy that kind of sets the tone. And if you listen to guys like Kelly Olynyk, Bam, Goran, everybody immediately gives Jimmy credit for being the emotional leader and barometer. He is the measuring stick for this team. He defines how practice goes. He defines how the team provides their effort. He was the guy that pushed them almost single-handedly to their 2 NBA Finals wins last year. He is responsible for so much of the personality, the identity of this team. And without him there for the last couple of weeks, I feel like they've been somewhat rudderless. And I was thinking about this, I think it was the third quarter footage after the halftime, when you saw Bam kind of leading the pep talk. He had everybody huddled up around him, and then he sort of was talking, and it just kind of broke off there. I feel like he's trying to do this and handle this bigger responsibility, but I don't know that it's necessarily a comfortable rhythm for him to just assume this. Maybe it's different. Maybe he just doesn't have the same kind of cachet of Jimmy Butler, a guy who's been there, done that, who's won with USA Basketball and been able to accomplish so much in his individual career, that for Bam at 23, it's a big responsibility for him to take over as the emotional leader on this group. You know, as much as we want to give credit to Udonis Haslem, I don't think he can do it as effectively. You know, he can help on occasion, but that energy, that identity needs to come from within the guys that are playing. And that right now is Bam. And so I question whether or not, you know, whether or not this team might have the kind of leadership in place to handle the loss of a Jimmy Butler, because it feels, again, like those teams from a couple years ago where there was all that talent and no hierarchy. And Jimmy has just taken over as the identity for this team. And so I question whether or not Bam is fit to carry on a leadership role. Maybe it's something that's going to happen a little bit later. And even if he just handles it somewhat well over the next couple seasons, he's got to do more. Like, we saw that 41-point performance. At least it kept the Heat in these games. And maybe he just wasn't capable of scoring so easily tonight because of Jokic, because of Paul Millsap, because of everything that they had there. But he's got to be able to show something, you know? He's got to be able to inspire this team and say, follow me, I'll take you where you need to go. And I'm not sure he's there yet. You know, maybe he tried it against the Brooklyn Nets and they wound up falling short anyway. So maybe he's feeling a little frustrated. Maybe this team just doesn't have it. I mean, if Goran had been out there, you probably could have counted him for another 15 to 18 points. That would have been a huge boost for a Heat team that just struggled so much to create offense. They just, again, they cannot seem to find any sort of the rhythm offensively. And pick and roll or catch and shoot opportunities, no drive and kick game to speak of. It's just ugly out there. I got to be honest with you, watching that, it's pretty bad. So maybe I'm overstating the lack of leadership a little bit, but I feel like without Butler and his personality to shape this identity, the team is missing something. And look, you've seen Eric Spoelstra talk about the lack of intention from Tyler Hero. Other guys talk about a team's identity. I think it's been a pretty common theme, even amongst media members, to just kind of hint at this team looking somewhat lost in comparison to how they have in recent seasons, or last year in particular. I think we would have expected more from this group. They're not playing Heat basketball. Avery Bradley said that in his post-game presser, which is kind of ironic considering he's been with his team for 2 months, and he's already talking about Heat basketball. So maybe there is something missing there, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's Jimmy. I'm not sure if it's Jimmy's personality and identity. We've seen him at least be able to inspire other guys on this roster, even if he's not being the big productive player that we know he's capable of. And maybe that's the difference, is that maybe they don't trust Bam to be that guy yet. With Jimmy, you know he's capable of turning it on. And if he chooses not to, it's because it's a choice and he's trying to get everybody going. With Bam, maybe it's not quite so clearly defined. Again, maybe I'm reading too much into it. It just feels like there's something missing from this team. And whether we want to call it leadership or we want to call it identity, I think that's a big part of it. And some of that has to do with on-court play. But there's also an off-court personality issue that is, it feels like it's missing something. And maybe, look, you know, maybe even a guy like Myers as the de facto cheerleader. And I know that's somewhat derogatory and insulting because he is still an NBA player that can play at a high level. Just something is missing, as far as an emotional boost that this team is sorely lacking. And maybe it'll change once everybody comes back from injury. I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it. It's hard to quantify.
but it's evident all the same. Like, there's no statistic to measure lack of guts or heart or something along those lines. You can measure turnovers. You can measure past opportunities where they, you know, kick the ball out despite an open look at the rim. But overall, though, it just seems like they gave up tonight, which is something that you're not used to seeing from this team. And certainly not that – you certainly never saw that during the bubble. They never gave up. That was what made that team so damn fun. And that's why they won so many damn games, because they were losing to the Celtics. They were losing to the Pacers. They were losing to the Bucks, and they never gave up. This is a very different team. And I know it's the regular season. Maybe you don't want to spend all your energy in a stupid game in January that doesn't mean anything, especially with half your roster missing. But I don't know. It just feels different. It's not as enjoyable to watch, and it's certainly not as inspiring as that last season run was. And maybe that's a fault of ours, too. We should quit looking at what happened in the bubble as any kind of indicator of what was supposed to happen this season, because those conditions were very, very different than what's going through the team right now and going around the NBA right now. But it's so hard to separate, because that just, it feels like it was just a short time ago. And so much of that team is the same, minus Derrick Jones Jr. and Jay Crowder. Somehow, something is missing, and I'm not sure what it is. It's hard to believe it's been a year since the death of Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen today. And make sure to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.